You're listening to WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM, your community station. WNRBLP Wausau, your community station. Currently, top of the hour, Conversation Digest, which is referred to by the listeners as the show of shows, otherwise known as...
Is that a new one?
It could be. I'm the Condition, and the K-Man is here as well. K-Man, how's it going this evening?
I am doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing excellent. This Thanksgiving week, we'll be celebrating here on Conversation Digest with a pre-recorded new episode of Conversation Digest.
It's new.
Today is Tuesday, and we're pre-recording for Friday, as I will not be around on Friday evening. I have to work, so we're going to do this pre-record, but it is nonetheless going to be the Thanksgiving celebration episode. We cannot do programming. We can't even have a radio station without funding. And due to the courteous nature of certain businesses of the local area, we are able to get financing or funding from these very pleasant people. Donations. We are a nonprofit organization. The WNRBLP station is broadcast live or sometimes through a loop out of the Wausau area Hmong Mutual Association right here in Wausau. We're a 6-watt station, not very powerful, but the message is always powerful. And who are the underwriters, K-Man? Who do we have to thank to help keep us running? Oh, there we go. Thanks a lot, K-Man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
WNRBLP Wausau sponsors, underwriters. These are the fine businesses that keep us going. Wayne Steering Insurance, All American Taxi, Today's Furniture and Mattress Advantage of Stevens Point, Elder Sanctuary, and finally, but not last at all, Hmong Quality Home Care. All of those businesses, thank you so much for helping to contribute to the financial stability of WNRBLP. And we're going to get started off, per usual, with the hard-hitting news, what we saw on the way to the studio. And we're going to delve into the history of Thanksgiving, the non-known, the unknown portion of the Thanksgiving history. Everyone knows about the Pilgrims and the Native Americans and all of that, but we're going to give the history behind how it became an official national holiday. That in just a bit on Conversation Digest, which is the gateway to the weekend, Party Central, and also your verbal extravaganza.
Woo!
Hard-hitting news on Conversation Digest. We start out this week from the Journal Sentinel, Conversation Digest, always taps into what's going on with the Journal Sentinel. Usually per week we go with the Journal Sentinel and the Daily Herald from Wausau. In this case, JS Online. K-Man, before we go any further, what's been going on with you lately?
What do you mean, what's going on with me?
Well, yesterday when I spoke with you, we were talking about this pre-record, right?
Yes.
And then you alarmed me. For the average listener that has heard Conversation Digest before, you know that I am a bit of a germ freak. I'm afraid of getting sick. I use hand sanitizer. I wash constantly to the point where my hands are drying and cracking. Well, the K-Man informs me yesterday that he may or may not be getting sick.
Just the cold. And then I think I'm over it already.
Yeah, no, you don't get over a cold in a day, so you're either suppressing and lying about your symptoms.
No, I've been taking vitamin C.
You were never
crazy
sick in the
time.
First place, and you were just trying to get sympathy.
Even if I was sick, you wouldn't get any sympathy to me.
So, well, you can't get over a cold in a day. So either you're suppressing your symptoms, which you're afraid I will get
nervous. Well, I haven't taken anything besides vitamin C.
And irate about. Well, then you were just faking it.
My nose was running, I was laying down, and I felt like
going
horrid.
For sympathy. That's all I'm thinking.
Fine, sympathize with me.
All right. It would be more empathy anyway, because I have had colds before, and I know that they're horrible, but back to hard-hitting news. So the K-Man's apparently healthy as he can possibly be, except for his weakened liver from repeated alcohol consumption.
Oh, you're so nice.
So we've got the UW chancellors calling for civility on campuses because horrible atrocities have happened. So, of course, UW chancellors provide such strong leadership in horrible situations. November 20th, around 11:47, chancellors of the... This was when this was submitted by Sheriff Durhams of the Journal Sentinel. Chancellors of the University of Wisconsin campuses released an open letter calling for civility Tuesday after a number of violent incidents on campuses.
Civility
this
now!
Fall. And my point with this whole hard-hitting news is that this is too little, too late. The incidents receiving the most immediate attention have included the death of a student at UW-Stout after an argument at a tavern. Two UW-Stout hockey players were charged with felony murder in that student's death, all three incidents at UW-Whitewater, two involving apparent anti-gay violence and vandalism in which the letters KKK were spray-painted on cars.
That's never a smart move.
So we'll just read this, and of course it's an appeal for civility. And of course, when someone's killed, and when something awful like violence that's anti-anyone is spray-painted, of course, we just ask for simple civility, because that is all we need to worry about, is a higher level of civility. When really, why don't we just hear now, right here on Conversation Digest, say, as opposed to asking for a level of civility, why don't we just say, hey, here's an idea, let's not be evil. Let's try to be good people. Let's not sugarcoat this situation by saying that it's just a lack of civility that led to the death of a poor person on this campus.
It's like, oh, you didn't say, bless you, after a sneeze, oh, you're dead. It's nothing like that.
No, and actually it wasn't on campus, I misspoke. It was at a tavern around the area where these two players, these hockey players, were charged with a felony murder and a death of a student. But so here's the letter. We'll just read this. It's not that long, but it's too long. This fall, a number of University Wisconsin system campuses and surrounding communities have experienced incidents of violence and intolerance. Classmates, colleagues, and neighbors have been the targets of threatening graffiti, vandalism, harassment, bullying, intimidation, and physical assault. Some were evidently targeted because of prejudice against... I'm not reading this. Someone died. That's the most important thing. Let's address the fact that someone was killed. We're worried about... vandalism's awful, don't get me wrong, but someone died. The first and foremost thing to address is the death.
This well, fall, they don't care enough to do that.
Well, this fall, a number of the system, the campuses, and surrounding communities have experienced incidents of violence and intolerance. I mean, they are addressing the violence. But it's not just violence that leads to a broken arm or a broken leg. The death of a student. We should all be disturbed by these kinds of events. We should all take steps to prevent such behavior. Pardon me, K-Man. We're at the conditions... headquarters, by the way, on this Tuesday evening.
The headquarters.
Pre-recording a brand new episode of Conversation Digest for this upcoming Friday. Thanksgiving week, we're celebrating here in just a bit, but we have to get the sad news out of the way. The sad news being that there was a death on a UW system school campus at a tavern, is where, but it was a student. That's what we're trying to get out of the way. Taking a quick sip of Conversation Digest coffee. Acts of intolerance and violence happen across our nation. It continues this letter in big cities and rural communities alike. However, even such one instance is cause for alarm, especially universities where we strive to provide safe, collegial learning and working environments. Universities and colleges are uniquely positioned to address these thorny issues. Civil discourse is a cornerstone of democracy and a central tenet of academic freedom. Building on this tradition, we must set the stage for civil behavior in all its forms. What constitutes civil behavior? Why am I not doing an elitist, arrogant voiceover for this?
Maybe you should.
Okay, I will, from here forward. And this is, of course, like I said earlier, the chancellors of the University of Wisconsin campuses releasing a letter for their reaction to a death of a student and many individual violence, vandalisms, being whatever. I'm done with this story. I don't want to go any further with it. That was hard-hitting
news.
They seem
like a bunch of jerks there.
civility. In addition, just one last part here. In addition, we hope that people will take time to explore these issues in more depth. One such opportunity is a special UW conference on civility in everyday life to be held February 22nd to the 24th, 2011 at UW Oshkosh. Watch for more details. Even if you cannot attend this particular conference, they hope that you will consider participating in similar local events, or you might choose to simply start a conversation with your roommates or your coworkers about ways to make our UW system campuses models of what we want the larger society to become. Okay, man, if we're relying on campuses in Wisconsin to provide a scope or a study at which we should emulate to know how to act, we're all in trouble. Because here's a story about students on college campuses. They're already a true reflection on the family foundation, which is dilapidated and breaking down in America as we speak. The real issue at hand is that it's not at college when these people become...
It's not where they learn it.
It's an environmental issue. The family foundation has been destroyed in America, and this is not going to... An act of civility. This isn't what's causing a lack of civility. It's a lack of decency, I suppose. But we're not very good people anymore. Are we good people anymore, K-Man?
On a whole, no. We are awful people now.
I mean, I guess I should have just pre-read this article. I don't have any idea where to go with this, except for I just think that the UW chancellor is calling for civility on campuses. Wrong approach to trying to figure out what the heck's going on with society, and under more of a closer microscope, what's going on in these UW system campuses. I'm done with this story. Right now, on Conversation Digest, what we saw on the way to the studio.
That one place called the Grand Canyon. It's not the Grand Canyon. It's not the Taj Mahal. It's not something that even matters. It's just what we saw on the way to the studio. No one cares. No one cares. Over there. Over there. What we saw on the way to the studio.
Each and every Friday, a little after 7 o'clock, what we saw on the way to the studio. Okay, man, what did you see on the way to the studio this evening, which is actually headquarters of the condition, which is me.
You're not going to like this.
Well, by all means, speak up.
I saw snow on the ground.
Well, that's depressing. How much?
Just a small little wafting of snow, but still, it's still snow.
Yeah.
It's coming. And it's coming to attack us. And we will die.
Well, we're not doing a weather forecast this week. We haven't done a weather forecast in a long time. You might remember the history of Conversation Digest. We used to do the one, the only 11-day forecast on Conversation Digest. And, K-Man, we don't do the forecast, but I know I did see weather.com that there was bad weather on the horizon for us this upcoming Wednesday and Thursday, Thanksgiving. And it was just a flake or two that was on the ground, right? I mean, we were just talking about a dusting, yeah, is what they call it.
Yes, I'm...
Well, then, of course, we have winter on the way, and what did I see on the way to the studio? I was on my way to the studio, which happens to be my home, the headquarters of the condition, and I saw very little of anything. I was drinking energy drink,
oh.
K-Man. See, K-Man's mind always goes to alcohol. Maybe we'll have to have a couple after we get done recoring the program, but
I'll have to get some.
But I saw very little of anything. I mean, I saw the landscape of America. It was dark outside.
Is it brown?
Couldn't see. Probably because
and yellow.
It's not going so good. You know, America's in some disarray right now. But in just a few minutes, we've got another story for hard hitting news, and also that's a reaction to the I don't give a crap moment of the week. The I don't give a crap moment of the week, just shortly after what I saw on the way to the studio, what the K-Man saw on the way to the studio. He saw snow and I saw very little. Normally in what we saw on the way to the studio, more is going on than that. It's a pretty lackadaisical approach to seeing things on the way to the headquarters of the condition, K-Man.
Well, some days, one time I even said I didn't see anything.
I'll admit it, I saw very little this afternoon, this evening, when I was on my way home from work to do the pre-record. So right now on Conversation Digest... the I Don't Give a Crap moment of the week.
Woo!
Where we go over a story that, frankly, I don't give a crap about. And what this story is, it's not so much about the actual article, but rather the opinion of this person. And, of course, the next hard-hitting news article, which we'll be addressing in just a few moments, is in direct reaction to this particular person's opinion. And what this is a member of the Scott Walker team. Now, Scott Walker is the governor-elect of Wisconsin. This person probably won't have a job much longer if he or she, what's a he, continues to make points like this, because Scott Walker ran as a conservative Republican. Whether he really is one of those, I don't know. I don't endorse anyone. I don't really vote much lately. But Scott Walker, of course, runs as a man who says, look, don't raise taxes. We need to limit. We need to cut the budget in Wisconsin. And we need to be more fiscally responsible. Of course, that's what a large portion of the conservative belief base is all about. Am I right, K-Man?
I believe so.
So K-Man takes the exact opposite because he's very liberal. But good Lord bless you, K-Man. We need liberals to make conservatives look like they know what they're talking about. So we need everyone. Everyone's beliefs are fantastic. We need all of that. And that's encouraged in America, of course. But so Scott Walker's really the foundation of his campaign, part of what got him elected in the first place was, A, he had a jerk run before him, Jim Doyle, who really didn't do so good. Jimmy Doyle didn't do so good. So we've got Scott Walker. Scott Walker says, look, we're going to have conservatism. And part of the I don't give a crap moment of the week that I don't give a crap about is that Governor-elect Scott Walker.
Is he Schwarzenegger?
No. His transition team is suggesting raising Wisconsin's sales tax in exchange for lowering income and property taxes.
So one tax up, other tax down, so well, stay well
to
equal?
According to Rick Chandler, it's one tax up, two taxes down. Former state budget director Rick Chandler says increasing the 5% sales tax to as much as 7.5% would allow the state to reduce income and property taxes. Now, the Capital Times reports Chandler suggested the tax shift at a Monday breakfast hosted by the conservative-leaning Wisconsin Policy Research Institute. Chandler emphasized he was speaking for himself and not Walker. So then why did he open his mouth? This is part of the transition team. Is not part of the transition team, isn't he, as part of the transition team, supposed to simply be speaking on behalf of Governor-elect Scott Walker when Scott Walker's not around? Who cares? Do I care what this budget director is really saying? Because he's really supposed to represent what Scott Walker is believing in his administration, whatever you want to call it, for the governor. So Chandler says shifting some of the tax burden from property income taxes could result in new jobs and new investments. Walker, a Republican, ran an anti-tax campaign, but the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports his spokesman did not rule out the idea of raising the sales tax. Wisconsin Democratic Party Chairman Mike Tate criticizes Republicans for forming a tax policy that he says passes the burden to working families. Well, excuse me, Mr. Party Chairman Mike Tate, but no one's taxes should be raised.
Hear, hear.
So this is the I don't give a crap moment of the week, and once again I reiterate the fact that the part that I don't give a crap about isn't the article pertaining to the raising of taxes, but rather the position within the article, and that being, of course, Governor-elect Scott Walker's budget director, former budget director, Rick Chandler, who is now part of Governor-elect Scott Walker's transition team, when he says that we should raise sales taxes to 7.5%, which is absolute lunacy.
Ridiculousness?
Well, do you understand what that means? In Marathon County, we pay 5.5%. The 0.5% is a local portion of the sales tax, while Wisconsin remains at 5%. So then, of course, in Marathon County, if this were to take place, we would be paying an 8% sales tax. Now, that of course, would not be the approach taken by Governor-elect Scott Walker, presumably, because he runs on a don't-raise-tax format, a platform that says don't raise taxes, and, of course, that would be my take on it as well. I'm a very conservative fellow.
Dropping the ball on that one?
He's dropping the ball. How long can Rick Chandler keep his job if he's spouting off like this? So that's the I don't give a crap moment of the week. And the reason I don't give a crap is because I don't like the position that this guy took. He's not running for office. Why is he spouting off at this breakfast anyway? He's at a breakfast. Talk about the sausage links or the pancakes.
Too much bacon. He's like, yeah, I could say whatever I want.
He had
now.
Too much coffee. It jacked him open, and now he's saying whatever he wants to say, and then he has to retract his statements. Hard-hitting news number two for this evening, Conversation Digest. Once again, we're pre-recording.
Evening.
This is a Tuesday evening, K-Man, and it's cold outside, and it's frightful.
But the weather inside is delightful.
Yes, it's nice and warm on the inside, and of course, we will have, for ambience, for this Conversation Digest episode, for this week of Thanksgiving, we're giving thanks by playing music, or more notably, the sound of a fire crackling in the background. Am I right, K-Man? You will collect that?
Oh, that'll be on here, and much, much more.
And also, you will hear intermittently, throughout the program, turkeys gobbling to create an ambient surrounding, a theater of the mind that you can enjoy for the remainder of the evening.
Gobble, gobble.
And maybe some other musical numbers. This evening on Conversation Digest, we also have the Conditions Karaoke Moment of the Week.
That's been absent for a while.
It has been, but we're going to try to bring it back. And, of course, the Karaoke Moment of the Week is simply a showcasing of a song that I performed at one time or another at a venue that had karaoke. And we'll do one that I have done in past. I did it once during the holidays. K-Man, you were there that evening. We won't say the bar venue. It was when there was still smoking allowed at bars. Do you remember those
that
good old days?
That was a while back.
Those are good old days in America when you can still smoke in bars. So that coming up at about 40 after the hour. And we're at my headquarters, pre-recorded, Tuesday evening, playing this upcoming Friday evening. And also, hope to have a big news or a big announcement being made on Conversation Digest and the rest of programming at Conversation Digest, the station that hosts us, WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM.
What's
about
going on?
Pertaining to the live stream.
Ah!
But that announcement not being made just yet. Stick around for the upcoming weeks. Hopefully, maybe just before Christmas, we'll make a big announcement, maybe even next week. And hopefully next week we'll be live. But so here's the hard-hitting news section number two. Walker quickly rejects sales tax hike idea floated by transition team member.
Mm.
Now, Scott Walker, of course, like I said, would be someone that would run against. He would run against the notion of raising taxes. Madison, Governor-elect Scott Walker has rejected an idea by a member of his transition team to raise the sales tax in exchange for lowering other taxes. Governor-elect Walker is going to tackle Wisconsin's budget deficit by cutting spending. He will not raise taxes, whether that is the income tax, sales tax, or corporate tax, said a statement from Walker spokesman Cullen Wirwee. Walker's fellow Republicans in the legislature have also rejected the plan. While it's an interesting idea, it's dead on arrival in the state assembly, said the assembly Majority Leader Scott Souter of Abbotsford. The incoming chairs of the Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee don't care for the notion either. This proposal is not going to happen, said Representative Robin. Well, that might be a woman, so
you don't know for sure.
Can't. So if Representative Rob Voss from Rochester is a woman, this proposal is not going to happen. But if Robin Voss is a man, this proposal is not going to happen. The last thing I want to do, and I think that's true of the governor-elect as well, is raise taxes. Well, this is Alberta, darling, so then it has to be.
The last thing that I want to do, and I think that's true of governor-elect as well, is raise taxes.
Isn't it cut and dry?
Usually, yes.
How hard is it to figure out that this member of the transition team has absolutely no idea what he's talking about? What's the name of that transition team person that said that that would be a good idea, K-Man?
I don't remember offhand.
Pick it up. Are you not the research committee for Conversation Digest these days?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I ever asked you to be.
No.
That's not really on you. That's my fault. K-Man, can you be president of the research committee of Conversation Digest these days?
Do I get a badge?
We can make one.
All right, guys.
All right. So the name of that, the name of that transition team member that wanted to raise the sales tax, don't remember the name, but for the governor to have to come out to retract a statement, the point of the transition team, do we know what the transition team is there for, K-Man?
To transition.
To make it an easy move into the governorship.
Apparently it's Harder than thought.
You've got to get rid of a transition team member that comes out and says something that is an exact opposition, the exact opposite to what the governorship is about in the first place, which in this case is about lowering taxes, about stabilizing the budget.
Sound like a bunch of idiots, if you ask me.
Is Rick Chandler's the one that created the problem? I mean, K-Man, if I'm coming on Conversation Digest and saying, look, we're about entertainment, and you come on because you're part of Conversation Digest, and you're here to make the show better, but you say, look, listener,
it's about music.
Okay, we're a talk show, right. You I'm come on and music. You say, no, Conversation Digest, you know, the conditions are out of the room right now, but what Conversation Digest is really about...
playing Andrew W.K.
is... Okay, you just acted like that member of the transition team came in that made it tougher.
If you
came on here and said, this is a music show, it's false. It's a false statement. The member of the transition team just made Scott Walker's job tougher.
That's where I was going with.
Very highly caffeinated here, and I'm getting a little bit perturbed about the member of the transition team. So it's not an interesting idea, by the way. It's not. The idea, this quote, who is it that said it's an interesting idea to possibly replace higher income and property taxes with a higher sales tax? Who said this?
Sounds like an idiot.
Is Majority Leader Scott Suter. Well, it's an interesting idea. It's dead on arrival in the State Assembly. Why do all my voices for these politicians sound like they're Southern gentlemen?
Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah.
I say.
The real... truth behind the matter for me is that I don't do a lot of impersonations. I don't do a lot of voices. So the last thing I want to do, and that's the true of the governor-elect as well, says Alberta Darling of River Hills, that's not going anywhere. Of course it's not. No. This is a brilliant statement by Alberta Darling about this whole issue is, and I quote, that's going to go nowhere. Wonderful sentence. Great sentence there, lady. A former Revenue Secretary and State Budget Director, Rick Chandler, is working on budget issues for Walker's transition team. In separate work with the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute, he raised the idea of raising the state's 5% sales tax to 7.5% in exchange for lowering income and property taxes. He said he was speaking on his own behalf. He should not be doing that, and not for Walker,
keep
according to the
Capital...
Yeah, exactly, keep the trap shut, according to the Capital Times in Madison, which was first reported on the proposal. Raising the sales tax from 5% to 7.5% and lowering other taxes would amount to a $2.1 billion shift in taxes every year, according to the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau. And, of course, Democrats pounced on the proposal saying it would hurt working families. It wouldn't just hurt working families. Do they understand that it would hurt everyone if we raised the sales tax? And who? What is the definition of a working family? Do we understand what that is? Do we understand the majority of Americans work?
Yes.
To insinuate that a white-collar employee of a company is not a member of a working family is nothing but wrong.
Well, they're wrong.
They are wrong. So this is a Democrat. The more we learn about what the incoming administration means by turnaround, the worse it looks for Wisconsin's small businesses, middle class and working families, children and seniors.
Holy cow.
And this was Senator Mark Miller... of Monona, outgoing co-chairman of the Joint Finance Committee, said Mark Pocan of Madison. The committee, other outgoing co-chairman. Oh, wait a minute. That was not a quote. That's just they're saying who it was. This means the average person gets to pay more in taxes every single day. This certainly sounds like a tax where working families pay a lot more than big business. He said the idea could have merit if the legislature also changed some of the exemptions to sales taxes. Pocan said if he favored the exemptions for food, but questioned the exemptions for legal fees and advertising.
These people sound really dumb.
Well, the Democrats in this point in time are arguing against not what it is that the governor-elect is saying, but rather a member of the transition team. Do you understand that the member of the transition team, Mr. Democrat, that is speaking out against what the member of the transition team said... You need to argue with what it is truly that the governor believes in, but rather not this ex-member of the budgetary committee. Who cares what that guy said? He was part of the... Okay, so we'll just wrap up the article here. But if the proposal keeps the current exemptions, it would hurt average citizens. And it would hurt everyone. It wouldn't just hurt average citizens.
Everyone's going
down. Why do we have this misconception that raising taxes for rich people is okay? When did this happen? So Chandler served as a budget director for Republican Governor Tommy Thompson and a revenue secretary for Republican Governor Scott McCallum. Chandler is working on budget issues. Yeah, McCallum, yeah, he was a real heavy hitter. Chandler is working on budget issues for the transition team, and his name has been floated as someone who would get a job in Walker's administration. Gee, I'm hoping that he does not. Chandler is a lobbyist for Wisconsin Energy Corps, the Wisconsin Realtors Association, the Wisconsin Coalition of Virtual School Families. He did not return an email and phone call seeking comment. The state sales tax is 5 cents on the dollar. Many counties also impose a half-cent sales tax, and some districts have the ability to levy a fraction of a cent sales tax. Oh, man, all this stemming...
You're going crazy over there.
Well, I've had a 16-ounce energy drink and a cup of coffee, and I'm getting a little bit worked up. But so this all creeps up after a reaction to what initially was just a part of the I don't give a crap moment of the week, which was the original response by the member of the transition team that we should raise a sales tax to 8%, 8.5%, 7.5%. It was 7.5%, but in Marathon County, it would probably end up being 8%. Because, of course, Marathon County adds the half a percent. So we would have an 8% sales tax. I don't look forward to that.
I don't think anyone would.
Well, apparently wealthy people don't worry about taxes being raised, according to an article to the Democrats. So, okay, we'll take a quick commercial break here on Conversation Digest. In just a moment, we get to the meat of the order. We get to the real issue at hand, and that is the history behind the nationalization, or whatever you want to call it, the actual making of Thanksgiving as a national holiday in America. When did it happen? Who made it such a type of holiday? And also the conditions, karaoke moment of the week, all up in just a bit. Conversation Digest, you're listening to WNRB-LP Wausau 93.3 FM, your big hit station.
Party Central.
Welcome. Come one, come all. Did you bring your corpse? Good. You'll be needing it. Don't forget your tools, and of course, wait for that lightning storm. Do you want to learn how to bring the dead back alive, and without the murderous spree that the walking dead seem to follow in their wake? Well, come on down to Dr. Frankenstein's Flesh Reanimator University. Learn the secrets of the spark of life. Go hands first into your first lobotomy. Reattach limbs and other parts of the anatomy with finesse and splendor. Learn the techniques used to reattach eyes. Sorry, we are unable to get full color vision yet, but vision nonetheless is an achievement. Watch as your corpse takes on a life of its own. Watch it grow, nurture it, and by the end of the semester, learn how to destroy what you have created in your own torture seminar. Need a loophole to work around your religion? Just state God didn't make it. You did, and you can destroy what you create, like pork chop sandwiches. Find the location to the university in the occult section of your favorite bookstore.
Hey kids, how about you tell me what you want for Christmas, because I'm the only guy in town for this. You can't go to Toys R Us or any other toy place because I bought them out. They thought I was a Rockefeller. And the US government? They really don't give a crap about monopolies. I just gave them a toy kickback for their politician kids. And now look at the North Pole. It's like big oil. I own every toy sold.
Hello, this is Santa from Santa's Toy Hoard. No one else sells toys. Teddy bears are controlled by the fat guy in the red suit. That's right. If you want any toy of any size, shape, or battery dependency, you will need to come on down to Santa's Toy Hoard and pay an inflated price for my lead paint toys from China with limb-removing springs. And by the way, Mrs. Claus has a business degree, so don't try to undersell me, because at Santa's Toy Hoard, we won't be undersold. because Mrs. Claus supervises and oversees the operation and beats me into submission until I buy jewelry to compensate for the disappointed way with my manhood. Santa's Toy Hoard, just past Kmart and next to the pothole on 34th Street.
The white dress, the rented tuxedo, the entire family. All are here to see this happy occasion. Everyone is smiling. You both say I do. It was the perfect moment.
Fast forward 1 year.
Beatings, emotional distraught, money, cheating, irreconcilable differences, gambling, sexual problems, addiction, change in priorities. We have it all. Here at Divorce R Us, we can make your happiest dream come true. The gift of divorce. Find us in the yellow pages. Divorce, it's what's for dinner.
WNRB LP Wausau 93.3 FM. You're listening to the Gateway to the Weekend Conversation Digest, and it's about 7:30. This is a brand new episode of Conversation Digest.
Brand new
Tuesday evening. We're pre-recording for the day after Thanksgiving. I will be at my place of employment until late that evening, so we're just doing a pre-record so that Conversation Digest can still be presented to you with some new programming. And by the
we know how much you kids like new programming.
We will do. Briefly here on our episode of Giving Thanks, we're not going to air grievances. We won't say what we don't like about one another, K-Man, but instead we will say what we are thankful for in association with one another. And we'll do that up in just about 10 minutes here. We will do a preamble to that situation, which means it's kind of like a beginning or a start to that segment with part of the Thanksgiving history. It's not the very beginning of the history. Now, we always hear the Pilgrims and the Native Americans, that portion of the history. I'm tired of hearing about it, all the way going back up to the days of making projects in school with macaroni and glue sticks. Let's talk about the Thanksgiving portion of history, the portion of Thanksgiving history that no one ever talks about, and that's when it became a real holiday in America. Any clues? And once again, in about 10 minutes, we'll do the conditioned karaoke moment of the week. It was a holiday song done by me, performed by me years ago. But we'll do this Thanksgiving history. K-Man, when did it start, Thanksgiving, without looking at Wikipedia.org, which is where my source is located? When did it become a national holiday? Any ideas?
I do not know.
Okay. Is it going to really take you that long to admit something when you don't know? No offense.
It didn't take me that long. I was waiting for an opening.
I need Michael Bowman back because I don't like talking crap to you. Doesn't make me feel good. He was just always. He's like, I will not. By the way, Michael Bowman. That is one of many programs on WNRBLP. Definitely worth listening to on Sunday evenings. And his show is What's Left on the Table presents Hollywood Sludge and also Country Porch. I believe.
What?
It's a new portion of his program.
Country Porch.
You will have an additional half hour, and unless there's a late Green Bay Packers game on Sunday evenings, his program starts.
This confuses me.
And, of course, what we're doing here is I am very erratic with my thoughts. So before we get into the history of Thanksgiving that no one knows about, we're just going to talk about some programming, some quality programming on WNRBLP throughout the week, starting on Sundays going through Mondays, some quality programming, as Barbara Walters would say, or she calls herself Baba Walters. So Mondays, we've got a lot of good programming. We've got A Better Country with Michael Murette. That's on Monday mornings from 9 to 10. We've got Dr. Daniel News. That's from 1 to 2. That's a new program, right, K-Man?
I believe so.
And that's Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. VOA Thai Radio. That's from 2 until 4 p.m. on Mondays through Fridays. And on Saturdays, we've got, no, that's the show that's been moved. Jason Hammerding called, I believe it's called The Smorgasbord. Or is it Smorgasbord? K-Man.
I don't know for sure. You're more on top of this than I am right now.
That's on 10 o'clock on Sunday evenings after Michael Bowman's What's Left on the Table. And also, we've got a lot of other shows. We've got Suave He Feige, Ku Yang, and Peter Yang, and that's on Thursdays. Every other Thursday, Peter Yang's on there, and otherwise I think it's Ku Yang and Suave He Feige. If I'm not pronouncing that correct, I apologize. 6 to 7 p.m. on Thursdays. And of course, what Thursday would be a Thursday without Dr. Rent and his show?
It would not exist.
And really what Dr. Rent does is everything Rent. He looks at it from both perspectives, whether you're the renter or the rentee. He's compassionate that way. And he talks about every issue involved in renting and being the renter, as it is a street that goes both ways. Conversation Digest is the program you're listening to right now. And also, the K-Man who is sitting to my left here in my headquarters.
Yo.
He has his own program. We're all conversation on Conversation Digest, but the K-Man takes the helm at 10 o'clock sharp each and every Friday, where he plays the music that you probably don't hear anywhere else, and that show is called K-Man.
K-Man's Friday Night Lullaby Explosion. Ladies.
No, I'm sure that'll work well.
Thanks. Thanks for your vote of confidence.
For a good time, call the K-Man at 842-8390 on a Friday evening. And also, Marshall Law, he is on. What time is he even on these days? Any idea? Because that changed.
Can I quick see the?
But that's different now. So
he's on from 8
until midnight.
8 to 11.
8 to 11, and so that's on Thursdays, and a lot of other programming. Of course, I can't mention everyone because that'd be way too long of a segment. Also, Master Gardener. It's not work, it's fun with Master Gardener and Ride the Planet with Dennis Delaney, and that's on Fridays. And both those shows, one's at 9 o'clock sharp to 10 o'clock a.m., and then the other one is 10 o'clock to 11. And, of course, we're thankful to all of these wonderful people for volunteering their time at WNRB LP Wausau 93.3 FM. Also, if you would like to make a donation, as we are running on donations. Am I right, K-Man?
We are a donation-running station.
We're run as a nonprofit station, and, of course, we need money to keep ourselves going. So if you would like to make a donation, you can always call 842-8390 and find out information that way, as I don't have the address with me to the Wausau
Area. We are a 501c3 organization, which would be tax-deductible, yo.
Yes, that's another incentive, is that it can be a tax-deductible donation. And also, do not please call this evening because we are not here live. This is a pre-recorded Conversation Digest episode. Thanksgiving extravaganza. And, K-Man, you know what? We're just going to do the conditions karaoke moment of the week. And we will observe the actual year that it became a national holiday, that is Thanksgiving, in just a few moments when we get back here. Also, I will tell you what I am thankful for when it comes to you.
Oh, geez.
And you will tell me what you are thankful for. We can keep it to Conversation Digest or just acquaintances that we have been for the 11 or 12 years that we've known each other. But we'll do that up in just a bit right now on Conversation Digest. It is a song, the karaoke moment of the week by The Condition. It's a song that I sang, or rather performed, in past years, or 1 year in particular, at a local bar venue for karaoke, and it's simply known as I didn't sing it. I hummed it. Didn't get too good of a reception because, you know, usually in karaoke you sing a song that has lyrics. But rather, I just did a 5-minute rendition of the Snoopy, the Peanuts song.
Peanuts theme song.
And that's what I did. So here it is on WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM, the holiday piece of work. I mean, it's a wonderful song, and I didn't get too many friends that I didn't, they didn't like it. Let's put it this way, because I just hummed for 5 minutes. Here it is on Conversation Digest, the Peanuts theme song, or whatever you want to call it.
Jesus.
All right. And we're back. WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM, your verbal extravaganza. We're Conversation Digest each and every Friday at 7 o'clock. We go until 10 o'clock. After this new episode of Conversation Digest, we will have 2 hours or 1.5 or whatever length of time it will be of
to hit up to 10
greatest moments of Conversation Digest, to hit up to 10, at which case, at which point, the K-Man and his Friday Night Lullaby explosion will be on the air.
Blasting onto the air.
So, K-Man, before we get to the history of Thanksgiving that not many people know about, I want you and I to air our thankfulness towards one another. K-Man, what are you thankful for with me? Or towards me? What is it that I do, or what is it that I say, or what is it that about me that you're thankful for? You want me to go first, K-Man?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, now, I am thankful for your technology knowledge.
I think it's just weird because we're being nice to each other right
well,
now.
Well, there's a lot of things I'm not thankful for, you know, with you. A lot of things that you're, but I'm not going to get into that because we'll do that.
That would
some
be
other,
a never-ending list. Now,
yeah. So,
it?
But you truly keep Conversation Digest rolling in a technology fashion that I can't give myself much thanks for. I mean, if it wasn't for you, K-Man, we couldn't do the pre-record. We couldn't do all the music and the videos and Star Trek. It's a new but old video. Feature. There's a lot of things that I couldn't do on Conversation Digest that only are possible because you're here on Conversation Digest. And so, in essence, what I'm thankful for is your technological knowledge because you keep the show going. And, K-Man, that segues into what it is that you're thankful for with me in terms of anything that you're happy about that I am presenting on a daily basis.
Your ability to talk and not just make it inane ramblings.
Were you at that station meeting that one day?
No, it was concise and to the point.
Okay, so you're happy?
You don't go like, I'm just going to talk about the other thing for a little bit, but then come back and just, you're right straight towards the idea. And yet you can still keep talking about it too, and it makes sense.
So would you call me a wordsmith?
I think someone else gave you that title years ago.
I mean, I am rambling on this evening on tonight's Conversation Digest episode, but let's be honest here. I had a huge energy drink and now coffee. Okay, so I'm thankful for with you. It's all about Conversation Digest and my broadcasting on this station, what you do technologically speaking. And so what you are thankful for with me, it ended up being involved with the radio thing as well, my ability to ramble on and go on without sounding like a complete moron.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're each thankful for things that pertain to the show because this program is very important to each of us, and of course the K-Man show is very important to us, and it's important to me as well because it's quality programming on a station that I truly believe in. And of
plus
course,
5 hours of me.
That would be. We're going to talk about the negative aspects of one another some other episode, K-Man. Okay, right now we're going to try to go to the top of the hour, and then, like I said, it'll be a greatest moments of Conversation Digest, the history of Thanksgiving that not many people know about, and of course the Thanksgiving is really known as the fourth Thursday in November of each and every year. And one thing that we must get out of the way, of course, before anything else, is what is the date for the next 4 or 5 Thanksgivings? Now, of course, this year it's November 25th. Next year it's November 24th. 2012, which is the end of the world anyway, November 22nd. November 28th, if in fact the world didn't end in 2012. In 2013, it's on November 28th. November 27th. 2014, 2015, it's on the
26th.
November 26th, 2016,
November 24th,
2017,
November 23rd.
And that was your update on what day or which date Thanksgiving is on until 2017. After 2017, it's up to you to find out what day it's on or which date, because it's always on a Thursday. So we'll talk about Thanksgiving for a while and the history of it, the history that you may not know about. Thanksgiving, according to Wikipedia.org, is, of course, celebrated on the Thursday in November, the fourth Thursday. And it was at one point a religious observation to give thanks to God. The event that Americans commonly call the first Thanksgiving was celebrated to give thanks to God for helping the Pilgrims of Plymouth Colony survive their brutal first winter in New England. The first Thanksgiving feast lasted 3 days of gluttony and gluttonous behavior, providing enough food for 53 pilgrims and 90 Native Americans. And what all was there? Was it turkey? There was some turkey, but we also had fowl venison, not fowl venison. It was fowl, comma, venison, fish, lobster, clams, berries, fruit,
eels,
pumpkin, squash, beetroot, and turkey. Why, do you have that in your listing of the...
Eels and bass.
Wait a minute,
shellfish.
What menu are you looking at for the first Thanksgiving?
I was reading right where you were.
I don't see eel.
Unless you're not on the same page as I am. Yeah, we're in the same one.
I'm not seeing eel. I'm what? Seeing fowl, venison, fish, lobster, clams, berries, fruit, pumpkin, squash, beetroot, and turkey.
Well, they got a little bit more in this one.
How can you have a different Wikipedia than I do?
I do not know.
Oh, okay.
Should I read some of these?
So we're going to bypass... No, because K-Man, I mean, I don't
clams,
even know why...
Clams, lobsters, mussels,
no,
duck, geese, swans.
No, K-Man. K-Man, put a break on it, because initially, I don't even know why I read that, because
and
we're
the
talking
three
about
sisters.
The unknown history of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but some of these, I don't even know that they'd be here for Thanksgiving.
Well, we're going to bypass Thanksgiving throughout the Revolutionary War to nationhood. We're going to skip it to past 1789, when George Washington made... a following proclamation and created the first Thanksgiving Day designated by... Uh-oh. Well, whatever. Okay, I'm not talking about that one, Washington. I'm going to talk about Lincoln's role in Thanksgiving. Because in 1863, that was the first celebration on the final Thursday, as we now know it. So really, when did Thanksgiving become what it is now? And that was when the final Thursday in November that became... That situation in November of 1863.
Was this right after Lincoln slaughtered his last vampire?
K-Man, a lot of our newer listeners don't know about fractional history.
No, there's a book called Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Oh, who's it written by?
I don't know offhand.
Okay, so here is the part of it that you don't know about. In the middle of the American Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln prompted a series of editorials written by Sarah Josepha Hale proclaimed a national Thanksgiving Day to be celebrated on the final Thursday in November of 1863. The year that is... Okay, and this is what Lincoln said, and it's long, but you know what? I'm going to do it. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come... Others have been added, which are of such an extraordinary nature, they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke, their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not rested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe had enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines as well as iron and coal as the precious metals have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp.
What?
The siege and the battlefield in the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gift of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger of our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me... K-Man, this is filler, by the way.
It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly revered and gratefully acknowledged with one heart and one voice, I added that, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite any fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficial Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend... What?
Beneficent Father.
Oh, didn't I say that?
You said beneficial.
Ah, whatever. And I recommend to them that while offering up the... ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings.
The Lincoln's voice.
With humble penitence from our national preservedness and disobedience.
Perseverance.
I'm Lincoln. I could say what I want.
He was well read, by the way, so.
Commend to the tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, sufferers, and in lamentable civil strife, in which we are unavoidably enraged or engaged and fervent implore to interposition to the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore as soon as may be constant.
All right. Consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand to cause the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington this third day of October, in the year of our Lord 1863, and of the independence of the United States, the 88th proclamation of President Abraham Lincoln, October 3rd, 1863. So apparently ever since then, K-Man, we've observed the fourth and final Thursday of November of every single year as Thanksgiving in America. And I don't know who did the worst voice from Lincoln. Either way, it was... Uh-oh. Oh, I am recording. Either way, it was a pretty ridiculous Lincoln impersonation by each of us. So,
My Lincoln didn't know how to pronounce some words.
Your Lincoln was illiterate and very ill-spoken of just about everything. Mine sounded more like a southern...
You sound like Michael Bowen after a while.
So I think that, here's the story with Thanksgiving. Of course, it's been, John Adams in 1798 and 99, he declared Thanksgivings in 1798 and 1799. No Thanksgiving proclamations were issued by Thomas Jefferson or James Madison. But James Madison did renew the tradition in 1814. So Thomas Jefferson was not into giving thanks, apparently. Now, a Thanksgiving day was annually appointed by the governor of New York from 1817. In some of the southern states, there was opposition to the observance of such a day on the ground that it was a relic of puritanic bigotry. But by 1858, appointing a day of Thanksgiving were issued by the governor of 25 states and 2 territories. But then, of course, it did become an official... All right, well, keep on tuning in to Conversation Digest. We've got the greatest moments of, and this is a Thanksgiving... And, of course, I said we would give a history of Thanksgiving that you don't know much about, and all we actually really did is... do our horrible rendition of Lincoln's official statement about Thanksgiving becoming a national holiday.
Odds are people didn't know about that.
Yeah, they probably didn't know that. So thanks for listening. We're thankful for you listening. And K-Man, thank you for your contributions to Conversation Digest and WNRBLP.
And thank you for your contributions.
You're
as well.
Welcome. Thank you very much. And K-Man, you going to get stuffed like a fat Thanksgiving turkey this Thursday?
I don't know if I'll get stuffed to be fat.
But you're just going to eat a lot, right?
Yeah.
All right. And I will eat a lot as well and put on several pounds of gluttony. So thanks for listening, and stay tuned to the Greatest Moments Conversation Digest until 10 o'clock p.m. And at that point, the K-Man's Friday Night Lullaby Explosion, all hitting the airwaves and on WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM.
You've just got done listening to Conversation Digest. This is the end. You can go do stuff now. Or go to the website, famousashtray.com, in a little bit of time to listen to again and 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 again. And maybe one more time.